Sherry, let's talk about the fear factor, if we can, and just how it's done, how they manipulate, first and foremost, to get people riled up about these potential diseases.
Well, a lot of it has to do with just the language that's used over and over again, George. I mean, you were talking about how just about every article that you read about the flu always talks about the 36,000 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
There is hardly an article that you can read about any of the so-called vaccine-preventable diseases that don't talk about these deadly diseases. And what was really interesting was that there was a PowerPoint presentation that was up on the CDC's website. I believe it's still there. I could probably find it. That came out last fall that was talking about the literal language in the marketing and the propaganda. They actually used that word, the propaganda that they were planning to use to intimidate people. And the language that they used of saying that we needed to use more of the words about deadly diseases and deaths and risk factors and comparing it to all of these horrible epidemics of the past. I mean, it was about a 50-slide PowerPoint presentation put on by somebody at the CDC that went through line by line how they were going to start using the media, how they would start feeding the media with statistics, how they would be using, it actually said, use the word deadly repeatedly. So there is an actual mindset in terms of the marketing and the conditioning that we have to believe that every single one of, every germ out there in the world is just waiting, sitting on a shelf, waiting to jump on us and attack us. And if we don't have a vaccine to prevent it, we were probably going to die.
I get emails from people in the medical and pharmaceutical industry every time you're on. Last time you were on was 2001, where they challenge you. They want to challenge you. And, of course, when we open up the phone lines later, if they want to call in, they can call in. But there's this very fascinating quote by Upton Sinclair, and it simply says, "It is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it." How true. How true. The people in that field, I'm sure most of them are well-intentioned because they do care. They care about people, specifically doctors I'm talking about now. Yet you're also in a business, Sherry, where these companies, the pharmaceuticals especially, are publicly held companies. They have stockholders to report to. They need revenue. They need profits. And in order to have revenue and profits, you have to have diseases. You have to have things that you're trying to cure. Well, what happens if there are no diseases? Then you have no profits. So what do? Create these things?
Well, it's pretty interesting, isn't it, that the pharmaceutical industry keeps talking about how they want to find all these cures, but when you get right down to it, if you cure a disease, there goes a market share.
A huge market share.
So there is it's like an oxymoron there, isn't there?
Yet there are some pharmaceuticals out there that do a wonderful job for people. Would you agree with that?
I believe that they at some level want to alleviate pain and suffering, but that's different than finding a cure. I mean, if you have a chronic daily headache and Tylenol takes away your pain and suffering, that's a good thing, but that doesn't necessarily find the cause of the headache and make it go away.
That's because you might want to sell more of your pharmaceutical.
Exactly. And so it's, and you know, every time I think about the people, like what you started by saying, the doctors, the nurses, the people in the public health departments, even the researchers themselves, when I really think about it, I think Enron. I think Arthur Anderson. I think those people that just were going there every day and doing their jobs and think they were doing a good thing, and it was the set of rotten apples at the top that sort of brought down the whole house of cards.
No, that is absolutely true.
And so I think that most of people that are in the industry, they've never taken the time to pull all the pieces together like I have. They don't want to. I mean, even the pediatricians, when you think about it, I mean, a chickenpox vaccine wholesales for $46. The new Prevnar vaccine, the one that's for strep, pneumococcal pneumonia, and ear infections, is $132 a shot.
That's an antibiotic, though, right?
No, that's a vaccine.
Is it?
Yes.
And it works in what way?
It is
coughing, you're going to need a vaccine.
No, I got a tickle in my throat from the cream in my coffee, I believe.
We're going to give you a shot.
I don't think so. Pardon me, I don't mean to be coughing in your ear.
They're at your door now, Sherry.
The Prevnar vaccine is actually for, it was initially, it's for strep pneumonia. And it was originally licensed to prevent invasive pneumococcal disease, of which they had about 1,500 cases a year. And I always like to put those cases in perspective in terms of there are approximately 77,500 live births per week in this country. And so we developed a vaccine to prevent 1,500 cases of invasive pneumococcal disease. And then when that wasn't selling well enough, they went back 2 years later and they got a secondary usage for that to try to prevent people from getting otitis media because the bacteria strep frequently causes ear infections. And then the statistics on that showed that it only decreased the incidence of ear infections by about 7%.
What do you think of the CDC?
What do I think of the CDC? I believe that it's a very incestual body of people that flip back and forth between the pharmaceutical industry and the Department of Defense, and they all just sort of sit down there and think they're doing something important. I don't know. I think I don't have much respect for those people.
Do you think they're clandestine, or do you think they're just unaware?
I don't think that they're unaware. I think that it's much more about money and about rubbing elbows with their buddies. And, you know, the FDA and the heads of the pharmaceutical industry and the people that sit on the committees for the CDC, like the ACIP committee, which is the Advisory Committee of Immunization Practices, several of the people that sit on those committees hold patents for particular vaccines, so it's in their best interest to vote to pass those vaccines into usage because they hold patents. I mean, it's a very incestual relationship of a revolving door of industry of how people just change chairs and move things forward.